Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show.
Sports. Athletics.
Yeah. That voice you hear is Matt Best. We bring in Matt Best for the big guns.
Yep. Subject matter expert.
MMA Messiah. You're a Messiah of MMA.
It's really baseball is my thing. Baseball and hockey. And
how many players are on a baseball field at any given time?
10.
There it is. Minus one. Well, minus one.
Is it nine?
It was nine.
I was close.
You
is it soccer 10?
Yeah. No, it's 11. But that's, again,
I met
you're
you
right
in the middle.
Middle.
You know, just a bunch of grown Baby. Men playing with balls. That's all I know.
No. We're super stoked to have you here because we're leading off the show with a big one. I don't know if this is true or false. I'm hoping to get your opinion on this because I have my own thoughts. Conor McGregor just announced that he's retiring from MMA this morning.
Right. He announced that. I think it is a publicity stunt again. Because, I mean, he did that, what, 2 years ago?
Right before we saw him fight Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. I think that's a way of, getting his stock up with the UFC. I mean, Dana White already said that it's a pay-to-play kind of thing. I think that he'll be back. There's no way with the pull that he has, and unless proper whiskey is just fucking demolishing it, which it looks like it is.
It is, and that's what Dana White said. Mm-hmm. So after this announcement came out this morning, they went over to Dana's house, and they said, yo, we get a fucking comment on this. And he goes, look, I think he's genuinely retired. He goes, he made a pile of cash in, off the Floyd Mayweather fight, obviously, and then in his MMA career. But then he said specifically that proper 12 whiskey is killing it so much. I don't think he's coming back.
We don't know how much he made off the deal of having it integrated into the marketing for that Khabib fight. We have no idea how much proper 12 made there.
Correct.
Because it was I know you remember the march up to that fight. It was fucking everywhere.
You were supposed to go to that fight with us.
Right. And you know, I don't know. There might be something where business is doing so well that his PR people or manager are worried about losing his celebrity. I don't think he ever will, just based off his personality. But I mean, he lost to Mayweather, lost to Khabib, you know, and then before that beat Eddie Alvarez and then come back with Diaz, but lost the one before. So you're looking at what, five total fights.
We hasn't won a fight since 2016, right? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, so look, the weird thing about McGregor is this. To me, he still goes down as one of the all time greats, like if not close to the greatest, simply because the fights that he lost, Khabib, I thought he was supposed to lose. Nate Diaz, that first fight, what did he take him on, 2 weeks notice or whatever it was at a different weight class, and he said, fuck it, I'll do it?
Well, he was supposed to fight at 55. That didn't go down. Then he said, fuck you, I'll meet you at 70, and he came up from 45, so he did a massive weight jump up. So I think he doesn't even walk around it at 70.
Yeah, and those two losses aren't bad losses. The Mayweather fight,
You're going against the only undefeated, besides Rocky Marciano, the only undefeated boxer of all time to go 10 rounds with Floyd Mayweather? That's fucking insane.
Yeah, I think that's where you just got to get in, and I didn't prepare for this at all, but like get in the head of McGregor. Where is he at in life today? You know, is this a play where he's just chasing money and dollars to build the enterprise and provide extraordinary amounts of money and value to his family and legacy? Or does he care about the sport of mixed martial arts? The thing in that, his public announcement, he said mixed martial art, and that the statement, I think it came out on Instagram or Twitter first, but it was like, he sounded drunk, and it was like 5:30 in the morning, and I'm not sure if he's in Ireland or whatnot, but it didn't look like it was well put together. You know, it was just like a half-assed tweet.
Well, the odd thing I found that happened later in the day, because again, you came in late last night. That was one of the top stories this morning.
Yeah, there's a new twist.
There's a new twist to this, he's under a rape allegation in Ireland. That gets released today, and apparently he got arrested for it.
Which just came out right before.
I think it was in November, right?
Yeah. So
it's like 6 months ago, almost. Yeah, 5 months.
But now it's coming into public light today. Obviously,
I wonder how they're
trying to get ahead of a story
so
like that.
Like, he got arrested in November and arraigned and everything, and no formal charges have been filed, so I guess he wasn't arraigned yet, but they're investigating. How has that stayed under wraps for this long?
Who knows what that looks like with the athletic commission and how that impacts his fight career? I mean, it's a very similar case, not to talk about MMA, this whole thing, but like TJ Dillashaw just denounced his title. He stepped away from it because one of his piss tests came back super funky. And before the UFC even stripped him of his belt, he just said, okay, I'm not champion anymore, and walked away from it. So that just happened like 4 days ago.
Right. And for him, look, he lost that fight, so it's not a big deal anyways.
Right.
It's not like you can go back and say, oh, shit, he's got to relinquish his title or whatever. I think,
but he still was the champion at 45.
He was.
So,
but I think that looking at his last fight, you don't cut that much weight and you're not on some form of.
Oh, Dillashaw, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When he fought at 25,
that was too much.
Crazy.
Man.
Well, I mean, I think Uriah Faber made a statement. He's like, "I'm surprised he didn't get popped back in the Team Alpha Male days." So he was alluding. I don't know if that's just playing into the drama that he'd been on some form of substance or some PED of some sort before this. So I don't know. Which now they're getting so crazy with those testings. It's like you're a fucking moron to even touch anything if you're competing at a professional level.
Yeah,
and it's like not fucking around.
No. It's to a point where it's so good. And they're testing with picograms and stuff. Like, you know, the John Jones, you know.
How do you even take supplements anymore? You know?
You can't, man. You have to get stuff vetted. And that's, we actually talked to some people from UFC because Black Rifle sponsored them last year for the Tuesday Night Contender Series. And I'm like, what are you guys doing to fucking keep this from happening, right? Like, if it were me, if I was UFC, because that's your fucking money.
Right.
All that talent, that's your money. I come out with a list of.
They have
supplements that, yeah, they do have it.
Yeah.
And if you take anything off that list, you're out. I don't give a fuck what it is.
Pretty much that's what the UFC's done is they said these are the specific, you know, companies and they have to meet these guidelines and there's testing for it so you can take it. And I knew a guy, forget his name, heavyweight, popped for some substance. It's because he took some like Rage Raid pre-workout. And
right.
Substance that, you know, triggered methamphetamine.
Or some
shit like that.
But there's all sorts of other stuff. All these guys that fight out of Latin America, the meat down there is often like has all kinds of fucking steroidal hormones in it and shit.
Yeah. Well, that's what Canelo keeps contending.
Yeah.
He
well,
got
no, it's been a problem in minor league baseball too. And I don't know if it's just an excuse or not, but minor league baseball, a lot of their steroid tests have been overturned because of that, because it's in chicken and beef down there.
Right. Well, they also fuck those chicken down there. So,
well, hey, that's true. You know, I mean, the chicken's asking for it for the way it's wearing those feathers, right?
I will say this. I would bet, you know, fucking $1,000 on you will see McGregor in some form of one-on-one, you know,
fighting,
boxing.
Because he's only 30.
Yeah, that or he goes over and does a fucking publicity stunt with like Ronda Rousey and gets the WWE to pay him fucking $10 million to jump around in the thing. So I don't know.
Yeah, because he's only 30 years old. And when you look at it, you're like, man, what are you going to do?
Especially with a purse, he won't pull under $3 million for a show fee. So, you know, he's gonna come back in some sort.
That's what I think.
He didn't start out as a fucking. A brand aware marketing guy. I think he was just kind of an asshole that liked to fight.
Yeah.
And then he figured out, oh shit, people love this. I'm going to keep doing it, pushing it further and further. I think the fight is in him still. Like Ross and I were at that Khabib fight, and he was not present for that fight at all. Like, he was tired and slow.
He was tired now. I think, yeah, because I think you get so many sidetracked things in life. I can't even talk today that I think it pulls you away from focusing on the fight. But he's got his, like, his physical training stuff that he does. So I think he needs to stay relevant for his businesses to do well. And I think his management will be like, dude, you got to get back in the fucking ring, because that every time you go against someone, then it's going to be a championship bout. You're going to fucking increase your followership, you're gonna increase your engagement, which subsequently impact your businesses. And yeah, no way.
You know, there's some Hollywood guys like Clooney, Kutcher, Ashton Kutcher, and those guys.
They're making way more money on productized stuff now than they are
than
on
acting.
Film. Yeah.
Yeah. But the acting is a way, like Matt said, to stay famous, keep your name in the press. People, when you do these meet and greets, it's like, oh man, I still want
to,
you know, the retired athlete isn't. Like, That's well, further down the road. You still want
to
meet.
So that's your George Foreman, and then those your grills speak for themselves.
Well, if you've got the balls to name eight children George, then you can do whatever the fuck you want in life, I think.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know what else is great? Our sponsors who pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. Since Matt's here, first and foremost, Black Rifle Coffee. Why don't you tell us about it?
Sure. Black Rifle Coffee is a premium small batch roast to order coffee company, which we have a subscription based model, which provides you the greatest freedom filled coffee every month, the frequency you want. Not only do you get the best coffee, you get all the perks, exclusive discounts from our preferred retailers, you get free shipping. You could just talk about it, but you get your own members page, you get everything. The subscription, I'm actually a double subscriber. I have K-Cups and Whole Bean. But it's the jam, and the way that we're building that out is going to be the coolest fucking thing on the planet.
Jesse and I, my wife, obviously, we're 4 boxes a month. It's not enough. We're K-Cups.
Charge through those things, man.
God damn it.
So good.
It's crazy.
So
it's
good.
Crazy. Delivered to your house on the same date of every single month. At this point, you're just an asshole if you don't belong to the club. It's about $4 cheaper than Costco. They got beans. They're ground. They're also whole beans.
Yeah, we have everything, man. You get so many discounts. It's like, let your passions pay for your coffee. If you go on that and you are a club member already, go check out your actual club page. You get exclusive content. You get first look at all of our releases.
Yeah.
It's freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, you may have noticed that we're putting out more and more shirts and stuff like that now. Mm-hmm. You get like a week to purchase them before anybody else even sees this.
And we've been listening a lot to the customers. Like, why? You know, there's one. A lot of people that were churning on the club were saying, hey, I've got too much coffee. Well, now you can pause your membership and then restart it whenever you want. It's super cool what we're doing over there.
It's great. It's great. It's go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use the promo code SPORTS for 20% off. Next up, we got ghostbed.com /drinking bros. Sleep so good, it's scary.
Man.
You haven't been on a sponsor read in a while.
No, I like this. I got two ghost beds.
Here's the new jam for them, by the way.
What's up?
So they ran these fucking crazy deals over Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then once, obviously, they end, you know, and it's just like, hey, we got to make money again. But for our audience, since they know 80% of it's military and first responder, they give a permanent 15% discount off for anybody who's military.
My ninjas. That is awesome.
Amazing. Or first responder. It's a footer at the bottom of the page. You just click that on.
My buddy actually came over to my house to help work on it on Sunday. He's like, oh, I actually used that promo code, and I thought you guys were bullshitting about the ghost beds I bought. And he's like, they're really fucking comfortable. I'm like, I wouldn't lie to you, asshole.
I know. That's what I tell people. I was like, yo, it's a big purchase. Like,
it's
I'm not
huge.
Going to lie to you
now,
on that.
One of our customer service people asked me, they go, do you guys all really have ghosts? I'm like, yeah, I've got two. Matt's got two. Jared's got one.
I've got three in my fucking house.
Like, seriously,
both guest rooms and all that shit. I love it. And if you're a reg, if you're a civilian like myself, they still got the discounts. $100 off a regular, $200 off a Ghost Lux, and that fucking adjustable base, brother, that thing is money. It's a bundle package, $7.99 for that, but that's a one-time use only because everybody was buying that shit. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros right now and get on it. Best deals on the planet, and as always, 36 months, no interest, pay-as-you-go plan. Nobody on the internet's offering that shit. Last but not least, the whole reason why we're here today is mybookie.com. Oh, D'Anthony Holloway. We've been kicking the shit out of these people in NCAA hoops.
Yeah, I'm starting to worry. Hopefully Hillary Clinton's not an investor in that company because she's going to send a hit squad after us as much as we've torn them down this year.
Boy, there's no way they're a sponsor after this season's over. There's no way. I mean, we've annihilated them. Go to mybookie.com and bet with us or against us. It doesn't really matter. We use the promo code DRINKINGBROS. You get to double your deposit. So if you put 100 in, congratulations, it's double to 200, all the way up to 3,000. If you put 3,000 in, congratulations, your deposit's automatically doubled with the promo code Drinking Bros, and we have been housing people during NCAA.
Can you do MMA on there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, you can do props.
So you mean like
presidency.
When I put $1,000 on Jose Aldo against McGregor, and I lost the only time I've ever bet on a sports fight, game, championship, and I lost my money in less than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That was a brutal one for me. I'm like, he's going to fucking knock him out. Okay. So I pretty much burned $1,000. But I know that's good. I know I could do that in my bookie.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a gambler.
Yeah. No. But here's the thing. Like,
it's fun.
Sports gambling's taking over. It's legal in all 50 states, so you're not, you know, meeting somebody in a fucking dark alley anymore. Hopefully weed is next to follow in this, where it's just like, all
right. Yeah, and then cool. The mob is just going to be out of business.
Yeah.
Like, once prostitution and sports gambling and weed are all legal, what the fuck are they going to do?
That's it. Prostitution will not be legalized here. I don't see that happening.
I'm praying.
Not in the South. I know you are,
thoughts
Dan.
Thoughts and prayers.
Dan, we all know that you're praying
right,
for prostitution.
Right, Dan, but what happens between two consenting adults sitting on a couch happens.
Well, there's a life hack. All you got to do is fucking set up a camera.
Yeah.
If you're filming it, then it's porn.
Oh.
Speaking of March Madness,
Robert Kraft.
Yeah, speaking of Robert Kraft, he's free getting hand jobs in Jupiter, Florida. No, we're March Madness. It's that time of season. Look, we gave our picks last week. This is the first time I'm going to say this, because usually I go into a rant of how our genius is and congratulations. A lot of glad handing, a lot of how's your father, and oh my God, we're amazing. It was all chalk. So 32 games last weekend, all 16 winners were the favorites, which has never happened in the history of the NCAA.
This is 2 years in a row where there's been something historic. Last year was a 16-1 knockout, and this year it's...
Correct, which almost happened again with Gardner-Webb.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
They were up over Virginia that whole time. But look, this last set of games, besides that Duke game that was a tip-in of the buzzer,
ooh,
it was a fucking snooze fest.
It was.
It was a four-day snooze fest.
That was the only exciting game.
Well, the Fight Club game of the week that we had between each other, which I beat you, was a really fun game for me.
Where's Ohio State now? They're on vacation.
The
right?
Ohio State, yes, they are on vacation. We weren't good enough. I said we were good enough for one game, and that was about it. Again,
about,
I was correct.
What about
no
Belmont? Because you went pretty hard on Belmont. Too.
I did, and Belmont did great. So Belmont won the play-in game, and then they lost by 2 points. I still beat the spread.
Yeah, you did.
So Belmont
spread,
was
sure.
In there for two rounds, almost exactly like I said. I feel good about that. I also feel good about all of our Final Four picks are still alive in this round of 16.
Yep. So are mine.
Yes, so are Matt's, and that's why he's here today.
Yeah.
Because with these brackets and on Drinking Bros Sports, again, if you're not a member of Drinking Bros Sports, just sign up on Facebook. It's free. We're doing a ton of giveaways every year. This one for the tournament is a signed Christian Laettner jersey.
The shot.
The beauty of this, and this is why you're here, Matt, is this. The people who usually win their office pools and their brackets don't really, like, it's their first time. The guy who won the Drinking Bros last year,
right,
was his first ever bracket he's filled out in his entire life.
And the lady who won ESPN's last year said she picked it based on the mascots.
Mascots.
Right?
Well, she was the only person ever to win $1 million.
What sport are we talking about here?
Hoops. College basketball.
College basketball.
There we go.
NCAA.
Yes. So we're gonna start with the first game.
Listen, I gotta come out. It's gonna be Gonzaga, Florida State. You know they're higher ranked, but the winning record, they got a better record, and I think that they're gonna pull it through. Like 4-1, man, that's gonna be a hard game, but Florida State's gonna take that L, and it's gonna be shocking.
I haven't done a lock of the week in a couple weeks. My lock of the week in this Florida State Gonzaga game, because it's Gonzaga -7.5.
I take that.
I am going to my bookie as soon as the show ends and putting almost my entire house on Florida State.
I honestly think that Florida State's going to win this game.
I think they're going to win the fucking game, let alone get 7.5
points. I can't believe that Gonzaga's getting 7.5 or giving up 7.5 here. This is insane.
I'm the same. Both of us, we have them in the Final Four. Yeah. Matt, though, loves Gonzaga. So
yeah, I think I'm trying to work on my verbiage here. I think they're going to win by Gonzaga +7.
Ah,
well, you still lose though because it's 7.5.
But either way, this is my game of the week. This is where all my money's going, is on Florida State in this one. This next game's a tough matchup. This is Purdue against Tennessee. The spread is -1.5. This is a 2-3 seed. This is virtually a coin toss. So Matt, whenever it's a 1.5 spread, a hoop is 2 points. So that means they're expecting it.
I'm playing dumber than I am.
No, I know. But a 2-point spread means hey. That's a pick 'em game, essentially. That's how evenly matched these are.
One hoop.
Who do
Tennessee.
You got?
Tennessee.
I like that. I'm actually going Tennessee on this one as well. I was kind of
I was bearish on Tennessee coming into the first round, but I thought they looked pretty good. I think they're going to beat Purdue this week.
I do, too. I think the Big Ten, again, we've talked about this before.
They're on a roll, man.
They were on a roll the first two rounds, and it was great. But this is where you start to clean out the girls' locker room and send them home with their lacrosse sticks for the end of the year. I got Tennessee in this one. Next up, we got Michigan at Texas Tech. Oh. Another one.
What's the spread?
Michigan is -2 on this.
Oh, Michigan's going to take it.
I'm with Matt again on this one. I got Michigan in this game.
Yeah, same.
Over Texas Tech. Yeah.
I don't think Texas Tech has got it.
Threesies across the board. Next one is a 12 seed versus a 1 seed. This is Oregon at Virginia at -8.5. Woo, that's a big boy spread. Virginia -8.5.
So Virginia's got to win by 8.5?
They got to win by 9.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm going to say Oregon takes that in a huge upset. My money's on Oregon. Money's on Oregon.
So if I, in real life, gambling wise,
I don't bet this game.
I don't bet this game in real life.
Yeah.
But for the show, obviously we make the picks. I would take Oregon plus those points at 8.5.
8.5 is a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. And Virginia hasn't really looked.
They're more of a defensive.
They almost lost that 16-1 game again this year.
They're less of a blowout team and more of a defensive lockdown squad anyway. So I don't really see them. Like cranking up 10 plus.
8.5 is a lot, but I don't, in real life, I don't put my American dollars on this game.
No way.
And I wouldn't either if I were you. Yeah.
That's a hard one.
Friday nights. The Friday night games. We've got LSU against Michigan State.
I think this might be the best game of the weekend.
It's a 3-2 matchup, but the spread is high. It's Michigan State -6.
It is. I think it's going to be closer than that. That's why I'm taking LSU.
I would take LSU on that.
Yeah.
Yes, I am too. Yeah.
With the points. I mean, I think it's going to be a 3-5 point game probably, but it's not going to be 6. Or
correct. If it was a -2, I would definitely go Michigan. But with that, I'm going LSU.
Yeah, for sure. I look.
Why are you laughing, Dan?
Because you're fucking smirking the whole time you're saying that shit.
A lot of people, because I was looking through the Drinking Bros brackets, a lot of people have Michigan State in their Final Four. I'm with you. I think Michigan State wins this by 3-4 points, but 6 is a lot. LSU's been playing dirty in this first two rounds. They look real good.
They look good, yeah.
But I think this is where their little run ends. Next up, we got Auburn against North Carolina. This is UNC -5.
Whew, March Madness, bro.
To me, this is where experience comes in from the coaching staff in North Carolina. Wins this and by 6 or more, probably.
That's what I think. I think they house this and take this spread. I'm going to take this one.
I think 5 is a little low on this.
I do too.
You know,
Auburn won the SEC championship and good on them. That's great, but they're not a basketball school. Mm-hmm. They're not beating North Carolina. I take this one at -5 for UNC. Who you got, Matt?
Yeah, I'm going North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina looks good, man. I've got them winning it all, so I'm still alive in that. We'll see. Next up. Virginia Tech against Duke. Two ACC teams. Duke is -7.5 in this game. Now, they had a close one in the last game.
Let's face it.
They should have fucking lost that goddamn game. That guy missed the two shots at the buzzer.
Yeah.
Both of those shots should have gone in by the grace of whoever the fuck is dead or Allah or whoever the fuck you believe in. It did not. And they're still alive in this tournament. And I would say 3/4 of Drinking Bros picked Duke to win the entire tournament, and they should have been gone last week. With that being said, D'Anthony, do you think a spread like this of 7.5 has scared the shit out of them from that last game that they're gonna blow the doors out?
No.
I completely don't agree with you.
I don't either.
Based off of that, they're going to rally back. The coach is going to motivate these kids. They're going to be like, we almost were out of the championship run. Fuck that. Let's go Duke and Virginia Tech. No one likes Virginia Tech. So
I think that's a thing where Krzyzewski knows that mid-game, that last game, and he knows how to motivate his team, and he tried it probably because he's Coach K, and he didn't do it. The kids did not respond. So I don't know why we would expect anything different from a better team, Virginia Tech, than we saw the other day. I don't see it.
I think
they're going to win the game. I think it'll be by 2 or 3 points.
I'm taking this. I'm going to bet this, and I'm also going to bet the first half on this because it's probably going to be around 3.5 or 4 points on Duke. I think Duke, exactly like Matt says, comes out, storms the gates. They've had 5 days to think about that shitty, shitty matchup that they almost lost to. Who was that team? Was it UCF?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they have 5 days to think about this. Coach K is going to get up their fucking asses on this.
They're going to be Duke Nukem, man.
Yeah, dude. I think Duke wins this game.
This is a hard one.
Ah.
This next one's a hard one.
Just to clarify, I think Duke's going to win the game. I don't think they're going to beat him by 8.
Yeah, yeah, but with the points. I got you.
Yeah.
I think they will. I'm going to take both of these. First half in Duke, and I'm going to take
the
full game
in
Duke.
Oh, shit, this has changed. This Houston-Kentucky matchup changed from 2.5 to 3. I just refreshed it.
This is actually my favorite game of the Sweet 16 because I don't know who's going to win this game.
Houston,
I'm just as excited to watch
points.
This game as a fan, as a show. I mean, dude, Houston can throw up some points.
Yeah.
That look, Ohio State played them somewhat close to the first half, but to me – that game was never really in doubt. Yeah. Houston beat the brakes off of them, and it just didn't really matter.
What's the spread?
This is 2.5 for Kentucky.
It just went up to 3 just now.
Oh, so it just went up to 3. Yeah. So that means everybody's
betting
Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm pulling on Houston on this one.
You're taking Houston
on
this one?
I'm taking Houston.
Houston reminds me of the fucking Phoenix Suns back in the day. Like, they can score points. They can't play a whole lot of defense, but they score like a motherfucker, man. It's crazy. And it's funny because their football team this year was the same way. Kentucky is the more, like, you've talked about it before, the coaching staff there and the one-and-done situation. They've made pretty good hay out of that
yeah.
the past couple of years.
But what if I told you, Dan, sometimes the best defense is a good offense? And that's why I'm pulling for Houston on this one.
Yeah, he's going Houston. I'm going Kentucky with this, and I'm going to take the points, and I'm going to bet this in real life. I like Kentucky.
I think Kentucky wins, yeah.
I think they keep getting better as the season goes on. Yeah. I don't think Houston
Here's the problem
is
with Houston.
That great.
One of their shooters is off, and that's it. The game's
yeah.
over for them.
Yeah, because you saw one of their shooters, you know, two of them were off in that first half of that Ohio State game.
Yeah.
They go into halftime, they're up by 8. They should have been up by 20. I'm going Kentucky in this one, and I'm proud to do it. I'm proud to do it at -2.5. Matt, and then this is something that you know like a lot about here. I'm talking about Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots.
Know all about
getting
it.
Jacked off in an Oriental spa.
Oh, yes,
hear your thoughts on this, because this just came in right now. He just pled not guilty. And he's asking for a jury trial. Why would you ask for a jury trial in a case where they have video evidence of you getting jacked off by an agent?
Well, if they don't have audio, like they're asked to for solicitation to have taken place, there has to be a specific request for a specific dollar amount for a specific act.
Like on the man or the woman?
Both.
Okay.
For to charge him. To charge her, I mean, they could get her with public indecency or something, but... To get solicitation of a prostitute, they have to have audio of him or a lip reader or some shit.
Yeah.
Where he says, I want you to jerk me off.
Yeah, jerk me off.
How much is it going to cost?
Yeah,
she says $20.
Yes.
He gives her $20.
Yeah.
Right.
Otherwise, but I think he's just bored.
He's
Robert
know,
Kraft.
Man.
He's a billionaire. His team wins a Super Bowl every third year. Like, what the fuck else is he gonna do?
Yeah, and like, and of all the transgressions you could commit, you know, he got jacked off by someone that was probably very consenting in that role. You know, I don't know the backstory whole of if there's human trafficking involved. That's a whole different topic.
Yeah,
but
you don't know that going into these places.
Yeah, but you know, by participating in it, you could say that you're helping the industry, but. You know, it's the old guy getting jacked off. He could be committing far worse transgressions as a billionaire who has the financing to do literally whatever he wants.
Yeah, so let me ask you, Dan, because it says here he's being charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of first-degree solicitation.
The barrier of proof is much lower for a misdemeanor, which means they may have something else. Like, her testimony would be enough at that point.
Got it. But
so
she speak English is the question.
They'll use a translator, and she may be about to get fucking deported.
Yeah.
And there may be some DA with a hard-on for Robert Kraft down there.
True.
Because yeah.
Maybe they hate the Pats.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're
a Dolphins
Broncos
fan,
and they're like, you've been really whipping her ass in the AFC West. Why don't we burn the Pats down? Look at me with the sports knowledge over
here. That was
here.
All pretty. That was all really close. Like, seriously.
They're, really close.
Yeah, the Pats and the Broncos are in the AFC West.
They're in the AFC.
They're in the AFC West. Yeah, no. But the Patriots are in the AFC North.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They're
that's
in
fine.
Boston.
Oh.
That's close enough.
The Broncos are in the West. They always go to the championship
yeah.
game together.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but for real, a DA with a hard-on down there that, like, wants to.
Keep saying hard-on during a jack-off case. I find that weird.
It's. Come on, it's branding.
It's fitting.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, he can a DA can make that case because they control what they prosecute, what they don't. I don't understand why Kraft would take it to trial and not just pay him some money.
I don't understand that either. It's two misdemeanors. Like, what are you going to trial for, especially if there's video? As an old man?
I would plead it down to a ticket, pay the ticket, and go. And then what I would do is the Saudi prince style where I have a third party buying women for me, bringing them to me. He's a fucking billionaire. I knew it was a quick turnaround with the AFC Championship. If you
or
guys
just go to like seeking.com or whatever that seeking arrangements and get somebody to
Well, I mean, if
you
you're
on.
A billionaire, you can pay somebody literally $1 million a year to just find you pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forever.
Hey, you know you can fuck girls from Instagram and Playboy and all that shit, like, and have them shipped overseas. We had a porn star on the show the other day. And
they all go to Dubai.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I always laugh about that, not to get super sidetracked, but when girls are like, going to be in Dubai for 2 weeks, or like, you know, some Saudi prince fucking paid you yep. 50 grand to come over and S the D, and then they get the pictures and brag to their friends. Hey, you do you. I get it. You're an entrepreneur or whatever you think. But
yeah, I'm all about it. Even here in L.A., I mean, she was, can we say who the guy was, the comedian?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So Bill Maher.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, she said it on air the other day. So people like that, just pay her $3,000. She fucks them, goes home.
Yeah.
I mean, you're if you're Robert Kraft, you're a fucking billionaire. You can't you tell me you can't do the same thing that Bill.
But maybe
can
it's
do?
More about efficiency because when he got caught, he was in and out in 14 minutes.
Yeah,
he was on
but
a private
I mean,
jet.
Half
and he
the girl
to
travel
sports.
With you
yeah.
all the time.
He could have got jacked off on the plane and saved
yeah.
14 minutes.
He could hire the hottest fucking Asian chick ever to be his personal masseuse and just jack him off around the country all the time.
It's true.
I do want to go back to this Houston game because I'm feeling so strong about my pick.
Houston over Kentucky.
Yep, Houston over Kentucky. And right. let's do a wager, and you're going to like this one.
Well, so we call that the Fight Club game of the week.
Fight
right?
Club
so
game? Okay.
When we disagree on a game so strongly,
okay.
we name it the Fight Club game of the week. So this will be the Fight Club game of the week.
Okay.
What would you like to do for this?
You ready?
Yeah.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
I was pondering on it over here. If Kentucky wins... That's your team, right?
Yes.
And I'm Houston.
Correct.
So if Houston wins, my team,
uh-huh.
you have to write an apology letter in pen and mail it to me and say, Dear Matthew, I am so sorry that I had a lack of understanding for your professional knowledge of college sports.
Sure.
And vice versa. I'll write you a handwritten note, mail it to you saying, Dear Ross, I'm sorry that I was such an idiot
and
on
I tell
this
you what,
sports podcast.
Whoever wins, I'll pay to have it framed in a nice frame.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
We'll hang
signed
in,
at
we'll
the
hang
bottom
the
with a legit yeah. Jan Hancock.
And yeah, we'll hang in the studio.
Yeah.
Because people don't write each other letters anymore.
No, that's
like
a lost art.
I was thinking about maybe let's just do $100, and I'm like, ooh, it's a lot harder for me to write a handwritten note and actually go to the fucking
yeah,
because
you're
going to
fuck it up like three
mail
times.
It. No, I'll probably have my wife write it, and she'll mail it because she's a sweetheart, you know. But
I'm down. Then we'll draw a picture of whatever mascot ends up fucking... winning there.
Where do I watch this game?
CBS, I believe. Dan just.
Oh, I don't even know where it's CBS. Probably right.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
ESPN.
Yeah.
One of the two.
It's CBS. I think we're all done with the True TV week. You know, that's the end of the tourney where it's just like, we're all done with True TV.
No.
Again.
Nobody's got it.
No. No. We didn't get any of those fucking.
Like 60% of the games, Matt, so you know, were on this True TV thing.
Ugh.
No one's got it. But the good thing about it is that Steve Lemmy's new show, Tacoma FD, is going to be on True TV. So maybe they signed up a bunch of people and people actually watch his fucking show now.
Yeah.
Which is the greatest thing to happen to me in recent memory in sports is the UFC signed a recent 7-year deal
ESPN.
With ESPN
yes.
and Dana White. Like him or hate him, he is a great promoter. And moreover, I fucking hated it because I had Fight Pass and then I had to have Fox, the app, and sign up. And I don't have cable, so I had to like use my... you know, mother-in-law's stuff, and then the fight card. It was just all over the place. Now it's like ESPN, all the preliminaries, and then the undercard, and then I buy it, or I just watch it on ESPN, the main card. It's streaming. Like, greatest thing ever for them to do that. It's so fucking easy, and you can have it in the background. Thank you.
And let me ask you this, because you're obviously very proficient in UFC and mixed martial arts.
That's a little bit of a stretch, but...
Do you have to no? You know all of this shit better than anybody. Do you have to pay for the big card? Let's say John Jones is fighting, right?
Yeah.
Do you pay? Is it $60? Is it like pay per view?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the big cards
through ESPN.
Now, right, but the cool thing that Dana White in the recent interview was saying, like, we're increasing the amount of cards annually, and most of those are going to sit on the ESPN deal. And now you can see the Octagon. It's covered in a gajillion sponsors. I don't give a fuck. But
me neither.
The thing before, the cable provider that they were pushing the pay-per-views out through, they owned the ad space, and they gave UFC a cut of it. Now UFC controls who they're advertising on those pay-per-views.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. So now they not only are they probably making a much better cut, they're also able to do targeted marketing and look at what their demo wants to see and put that shit up there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me at all to see more of those ads on the Octagon.
What does that do for Black Rifle Coffee? Because you guys are a sponsor of the Contender Series.
Contender Series, yeah.
Yeah.
So are you going to continue that relationship? And how has that been? Because I would imagine the correlation between the two brands has got to be great, right?
Yeah, I mean, Dan could probably speak the best of that. He was the account manager on it. But, I mean, it's such a good pairing, I think, that the culture of the military is very similar to, you know, the locker room of sports and or fighting. So yeah. It's been a great relationship. They've been really open to working with us, and I think we'll always do it. Yeah. It doesn't hurt.
We didn't do the Contender Series this year because they were transitioning over to ESPN, and we didn't know what that was going to look like yet. So we were just like, well, we can take our money and spend it on people like Brendan Shaw, for example, or Ryan Bader and these other guys that are actual influencers in the community, kind of wait it out and see where UFC falls, all this stuff, and then get back into the
mix. And I'm more of from an advertising perspective. I believe like sponsoring the driver, not NASCAR kind of vibe. So it's fun to impact the individual lives of like a Ryan Bader, who I think is an amazing guy. And obviously I've fangirled out when he was on the show.
Sure.
But you get to see them get the money and what they do with it. And they're a great steward for your brand. And it's not necessarily the UFC, but the UFC has been great to us. And I'm sure that we'll work with them in the future.
Okay,
but I'm really fucking stoked on the ESPN deal, like super stoked on that.
Yeah, because to me it seemed like a seamless transition, and I was surprised. I was like, oh, fuck, because I was at your house.
Well,
and it was super easy, and
this
I was
has
just
been
like,
going
oh, Christ.
On behind the scenes for a year and a half. They've been doing this deal. Like the whole time last year when we signed our deal with the Contender Series, they were working on it the whole time, and they were keeping me in the loop, like, hey, we're going to be transitioning. So it's been going on. They really had it buttoned up.
But this seems like the first company that got it right.
When you make it to ESPN, you are a legit sport. And I feel like that's what the UFC was really fighting for. Like, we want the world to take us seriously. And that's what that's doing now. And I think it's great because then younger kids and all these other people can be educated in mixed martial arts. And it's just not two guys going in or women going in there and knocking the shit out of each other with no sanctions. It's a sport. It's awesome. I couldn't be more stoked. And I'm sure you guys know the announcers in ESPN, but you're seeing like a lot of the guys that are like the best hosts from football are coming over and interviewing, you know, fighters post fight. And they've been in the industry for 20 years. They're asking the right questions. And the journalism just associated with ESPN and the UFC now is just like, fuck, you get the greatest coverage pre-fight, post-fight. It's just awesome.
Well, it's funny. John Anik actually started with ESPN in Bristol. Yeah. That was his first professional gig. He was doing some like lower level stuff before that.
Announcer.
Yeah, he's the man.
He was a great guest on our show.
If you watch his fucking Instagram right before a fight, he usually will post a picture of all of these like 3x5 or 5x8 note cards. He is a fucking rain man. There's so much like information on all this stuff. He's not like some guy that shows up like, oh, I'm gonna call a fight today. And that motherfucker knows every single thing about everybody.
He caught him with a jab. I'm sure his second son who went to Texas University.
It's like creepy specific. I'm like, bro, you gotta calm down. He's also got a twin, so just creepy all around.
Twins are creepy. You know, my wife is afraid of twins. That's her only fear.
She's afraid of twins.
Yep. Mine's heights, hers is twins.
Is she?
And if it's twins holding hands, like a boy and a girl, cannot do it. Or suits. She doesn't want to see twins wearing suits.
The
together.
Same suits?
Yeah. Hmm. She can't see that at all. Like,
that's
freaks
really
her
specific.
Out. When she comes back from wherever the fuck she is, you can ask her about it.
I'm going to troll her with that.
I'm just going to find twins and buy them matching suits. Make them hold hands right here. Yeah.
Or more importantly, we'll have twins come over and then we'll have them go to the bathroom, change clothes, but not tell them. So she gets really confused. Like, I thought you were Bob. No, I'm Bob. That's Jeff.
And then both come out. We're Bob.
We're Bob.
Ooh. We're Bob. This was fun, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate you being on today,
Houston,
man.
I can't wait to put
Houston,
that in.
Houston, Kentucky. Oh, my God. I can't wait till you have to sit down and draft that letter.
Dear Ross Patterson.
Dear Ross, I'm so sorry. I did not believe in Kentucky more. I wish I would have. Now I have to write you this handwritten letter.
Yeah.
Sincerely, Morgan Freeman. Sincerely, we're the Drinking Bros. Stay tuned. We've got fitness guru Demi Bagby on the show. If you're not following her on Instagram, you're probably the only one left on this planet. 1.5 million something crazy. Kind of a hot little gymnast too.
She does backflips off a fucking mountain.
Yeah,
she
like park. It's like parkour mixed with gymnastics. Kinda, yeah.
I'll give it to Demi because the one thing I really like is she's very youthful, just 18, and she's out there like crushing it and being athletic and going outside and going to parks and just doing cool shit other than stuffing your face in a screen or an iPad or an iPhone. So I think it's cool. It's a good inspiration for hopefully younger guys to and growls to go out and experience life outside of a tablet.
And one of the nicest people we've had on the show. So stay tuned for Demi Bagme, ladies and gentlemen. Hi,
welcome
to Drinking Bros.
This is an interesting one. We have
Demi Bagme,
Disney voice. I was going to say Disney. You know,
are you a Disney voice?
I mean,
do
she
I
could
sound
be.
Like a Disney voice?
Yes, you do sound like a Disney voice. You do sound like a Disney voice. Like
you're welcome.
You're the
do
youngest
you think you go
person.
Full princess, or do you go Disney animal?
I'd start off with a princess and
you
then,
go full princess first, huh?
Yeah, because you what you do
that's
is you
a big
run
role.
You run through the princesses and then you go down to like a small rabbit. I could see you as like
you
a rabbit.
You don't
voice.
See it as like a climbing thing. You start out as the rabbit
how
or the
you,
skunk or
no.
anything like that, and
no,
then you
I
get princess.
I go in reverse. I say you shoot for the stars and then keep your feet on the ground afterwards.
Just a young, you know. I mean, well, most
speaking of young, by the way, she's the youngest person princess. We've ever had on Drinking Bros.
You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
The youngest
you've never
person.
Even drank before.
No.
Is that true?
I don't
not
drink.
Once.
I don't drink.
What? Not one single time. Is that well, that's why you're in like the greatest shape on the planet. I'm looking at your videos here. You don't even seem like a real human. You're so jacked.
I'm a Disney princess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's
Slash
are you still in high school
bit.
Right now?
No, I'm out of high school.
You're out of high school?
Yes.
Did you just check out and say, I want my GED? And let's.
Said, I'm done. We
done,
out.
Son?
We out
of this bitch.
Off to my Disney career.
And
okay.
now, yeah. So now the next step is we start shopping for a college that we can buy you to get into.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got to bribe some people. We've got to bribe some people, get you
just
a fake scholarship.
Some people.
I already started the whole way here, you know?
Yeah, what do you fake do for a sport? Because that's what that
yeah,
is.
Are
you
going
know right?
rowing team? I mean, she could pull off gymnastics.
Professional hugger.
Okay, cool. They don't have that's not a college sport,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's my new thing.
It could be.
Yeah.
What's are you a gymnast? Because I look, we see all your videos. You're doing all these crazy gymnastics. Fucking, I mean, you're jumping off of railings and buildings and all kinds of stuff.
You're taking
how do
parkour
you,
to a
yeah,
whole
it's almost
different
like,
level,
like a Mary Lou Retton parkour is how I would describe it. I guess for the audience at home.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of parkour. Yeah, it's kind of my Disney rabbit phase that I'm kind of getting into right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just a little bit of everything.
What made you get started in that? Because, I mean, you have 1.5 million followers on Instagram.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And I can't turn on Chive TV without, they just have all your videos.
Yeah. So in Chive TV, in every restaurant and bar we go to, it's on in the background. It seems like it's just you for like 2 hours straight. How did you get into all of this?
I honestly was recovering from an injury, and then I started Instagram and social media as like a video log to see my progress, and then people started following me, and it kind of took off from there. And
had
then,
you already been tumbling, or what? Where did this stuff start?
I was actually a soccer player, ironically. I never really did gymnastics or anything. I did cheerleading for a little bit, but it wasn't really my thing. Kind of did CrossFit and calisthenics before, more of like the weight side of it, and then I transferred to the body weight training side of it. So
okay.
Now I do like all the flips and fun body weight things.
So with a million and a half Instagram followers at 18 years old, you have got to be the most hated girl at your high school, because that's every that's
yes.
every kid's
oh,
dream
is
like
that is
how
you,
many followers
homeschool,
you
homeschool
I mean
homeschool
my
oh are you,
you
were
know,
you homeschooled
for a little bit yeah
gotcha
I could not do it I couldn't do it I don't think I could do it
I commented on my daughter on one of my daughter's photos and like every one of her friends just started going can I get a shout out it's like no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to shout 15-year-olds out on my fucking Instagram, you fucking weirdos.
It's crazy, right?
Get the fuck away from
do
me.
Do people do that to you? Your friends say, hey, could you just post my shit or my GoFundMes
oh,
or
yeah,
whatever?
Oh, yeah, my dad will, you know, buy a dog for me if, you know, I get 20,000 likes. Can you help me? I'm like, no. Like, No.
That's a thing?
Leave me alone. Like,
my dad will buy
a
dog for me if I get 20,000 likes.
Yeah, it was a trend for a while.
Get the fuck out of here.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Your dad just doesn't love you. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's true, though. The dad does not love you if he's not buying you a dog. So what do you hope to do with all of this? Like, what's your end goal? Like, when I saw your Instagram, I thought for sure you were a professional gymnast.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Have you been approached at all for stunt work or anything like that yet?
I do. I'm going to hopefully start working on kind of movie campaigns on the social end. So if an action movie comes out, they'll use me as like, I'll kind of work with the stunt coordinator from the movie and they'll teach me the moves that they were teaching the lead actors. And then I kind of post that on my Instagram. It's more like a personal branding thing. And then hopefully get into reality TV and stunt work and things like that in the future.
What do you want to do in reality TV? Because you look like
crazy
shit.
That's what I want to do.
The American Ninja Warrior.
I want to be able to go do whatever and then get it on tape. For the most part.
Would you ever do like The Bachelor or something like that? Because those girls are 23, so you're not that far away.
No.
They are.
I do. I think those style shows are so tacky.
Oh, they're the worst.
Waste of my time, to be honest.
What are you really doing? Like, really?
It's more or less about becoming famous. It's one of those things like me and my wife, like she watches it, so therefore I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get invested into the whole shit.
Okay.
Where I'm just like, oh, all right,
but wouldn't
cool.
you be embarrassed to introduce yourself as like, oh, I was on The Bachelor?
Not in today's world.
Six.
If you think about it.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
It's all about.
It's crazy. They're like, oh,
what
I'm
episode
on the
did
show?
You make it to?
Yeah.
Five,
but that's what it is now, and that's kind of what celebrity is. And look, more and more, it's going to Instagram. If you have 1.5 million followers,
mm-hmm.
that's more than fuck, man. You're an FX show, so if you were on FX and you had a simple half hour comedy,
well, I mean, Steve on FX, Howie is just now breaking that, and he's had nine seasons,
and they're I think 2.5 million, 3 million on Shameless. You have half of what Shameless is. Are you aware of what you can do on your own with this type of audience?
You can impact a lot of people.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I mean, I don't know.
Do you get paid for sponsorship and stuff like that?
Yeah, I make a living.
That's awesome.
I make my living off my branding online. Yeah.
That's great. What about Facebook? Are you on Facebook too?
I'm on pretty much all platforms. I'm looking to tap into YouTube a little bit more, but that's a little more work. As you know, like having a videographer and everything, more so than what I'm doing now.
Sure.
But I try to tap into every platform because every platform has a different audience. I mean, you know, Facebook is a little bit older. Instagram's more my age. There's like the new app TikTok that's a lot younger. Or every platform has its own
age range.
You know what I mean?
Tell her you're your theory on TikTok.
It's just I'm always like, you know what I really need today is another TikTok ad.
Yeah,
they do a lot of those.
How big are you on TikTok?
3 million.
Shit.
Oh, you have followers on TikTok, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
3 million about TikTok. Yeah. Well, welcome to the
really
new world.
I don't really put as much work. Like, it's kind of just the content that I'm already posting, just kind of reposting on a different app. But that's like the younger audience. And as you know, people that are 12 are on their phones more so than we would be, you know? So it's like just more attention spans and like just always watching everything all the time.
The weird thing is, if you save all this content and archive it, I mean, you could just
put it on everything. Yeah.
Farm it out and monetize all of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, are you licensing to Chive?
I'm not licensing to them, no. I have some brands that contact me for licensing deals, but the issue is they'll want full credit of your content, and then it's like I don't own it anymore, and sometimes that could be an issue with like the brand deals and stuff that I have.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's a little bit of both, to be honest. I'm doing a little bit.
When do you think you're gonna take the step and get yourself a videographer? Because you know, once you do that, like,
oh yeah,
you double.
Yeah, no, I'm actually looking for someone right now. It's kind of hard for me to find someone because if I post about it, people from India are like, I'll help you, you know? So I need someone on the back end looking. Yeah, I'll help you. But I need someone on the back end searching maybe on whatever videographers are usually on saying, hey, like local person, I need that. Okay. Show me that spot, though.
Yeah,
I need that.
Yeah, Jared's one of the social media messiahs, so he could definitely help you out with that.
Yeah, and now that I'm out of school, it's a lot easier for me to have the time to do it as well.
Sure.
Otherwise,
what do your
just
parents
the
think of all this?
They're very supportive. They love it. They think it's super cool. I try to like work with brands that my parents also love, so we can have household items that they love too, so they can kind of
there's
see,
nothing like that free
see all
shit.
The work paying off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Love the free sponsors.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, go after Ford.
Exactly.
Hey, we need a couple new Fords in the driveway.
If we could just get Budweiser on the show, that would be amazing.
Lifetime supply.
Yeah. And I'll go Bud Heavies. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you go full Bud Heavies?
Yeah. Why not?
Dang.
Why not? You don't drink, though, right?
No.
You can't.
You can get me into it if you want, though. And now I'm here. Like, this is like where it happens.
Yeah. This is the time.
We're about to get
now.
Lit, you know?
If we were in Italy.
Where in any other country, but
well,
here.
New Orleans it is. You know, in 18, you can drink in New Orleans.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you really? Sure?
100%.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, you can drink in New Orleans at 18 years old.
All right, we're going.
Yeah, you can walk. You can walk the streets and just get housed.
All right.
Or Mexico. Everybody goes down to Mexico.
Everyone goes
too.
To Mexico.
Yeah. Did you go down to Mexico?
Every New Year's.
Yeah, you did. And you drink there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? It's legal there.
It's legal there, yeah. And hey. And strangely in New Orleans. New Orleans is 18 as well. So
hey, we're lowering we're making the voting a trip. Age, but we're not touching the drinking age?
No. Nah. Nah. Why would we?
Why would we?
Why would we?
That's 3 years more of a consumer.
Yeah, exactly.
Profits would go up.
Oh, skyrocket. Could you imagine?
Imagine that. You're just unlocking a bunch more customers.
The
overnight.
Demographic that's actually binge drinking is what you'd be unlocking.
Like, boom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Overnight, every
all
beer company would do this.
All the low-key alcoholics at such a young age.
Fucking Boone's Farm through the roof. Oh, stock would just...
I love it. Strawberry Hill forever.
Yeah, you know nobody's going expensive.
No.
That demographic is buying all the Boone's Farm and the Mag Dog 2020.
Yeah. Absolutely they are. Who do you look up to fitness-wise?
A bunch of people for different reasons. I'm more so on the, like, I'll take little aspects of a lot of the people that I follow rather than looking at one person and being like, that's my inspiration. So even my family or my friends, you know, little aspects of each of them kind of morph into what I hopefully want to be when I grow up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not anyone in particular, like a Christmas Abbott or somebody like that?
She's cool. Yeah. I like her. You know, she's cool. I really like The Rock's pretty dope.
Everybody likes
everybody
The Rock.
Loves The Rock.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
He's just an inspirational dude. I like The Rock. It's just, you know, that's a lot.
I feel weird calling somebody The Rock.
I do too. It's kind of like Edge from U2 where you're just like, did you just name yourself that? Now I get to call you that? It's kind of like giving yourself a nickname. Like you can't give yourself a nickname.
Beto.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I'm Super Randy or fucking Beto. Like, come
dirty
on.
Dirty Randy.
Yeah, I'm Dirty Randy. That's what I do. The Rock to me, I look at him fitness wise and I look at a lot of you guys fitness wise and I think about the eating and how somebody's going to wake you up. And I mean, The Rock, have you seen The Rock's schedule?
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking insane.
Early. Yeah.
People are waking him up at 4 just to eat.
Yeah.
Like, hey, wake up. You have to eat food and then go to the gym and then boom. I mean, that guy's got 4 hours out of the day to himself to, I guess, return
train.
Emails or train.
Whatever it is. Like, yeah.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Is that how your life is? I mean, how do you stay in this good a shape? To me, it's almost unfathomable that you are not revolving your entire 24 hours around eating or working out. Or
I don't really diet too much. I'll eat lower carb just because I feel better eating that way. But I'm still young, so I had the fast metabolism. That'll one day go away pretty quickly, especially after New Orleans. It's going to kind of wreck my system.
Yeah.
But not too much of a crazy diet. My training schedule and regimen depends on how much sleep I've gotten because I can't train super hard if I haven't gotten enough sleep.
How many hours is that?
Preferably, I'd love 8. It's been more on like the 4 or 5 the last few months, but I'd prefer 8 just because especially training all day or doing a lot of flips on concrete or going to photo shoots, they want me to do all the crazy stuff 100 times each, you know, and especially
live,
on concrete,
so they can capture
like,
it.
Yeah, especially on concrete and things like that, it gets like a lot of compression on your spine and your just body just kind of aches.
Just ripping your hands up.
Yeah.
Just ripping everything up.
Yeah, exactly. What do you do for pain wise? Are you CBD?
No, I just rest for the most part, or massages are pretty good too, especially on tight muscles or like Epsom salt baths help a lot, but I'm not really on CBD or anything.
Because that's
just a lot of vitamins too. I always try to take a lot of vitamins so my immune system's up. Because if your body is down and you're tired and your immune system is low, you're just like an all-time wreck.
Yeah, our co-host is going through that right now. Dan Holloway.
Poor
we want to say
Dan,
rest in peace. I believe he died maybe two hours ago.
Could be. I haven't seen him.
No,
you know? I haven't heard a noise come out of that.
Boy,
room.
The coughing out of that guy.
Disappointing.
It's crazy. You
know, he could have been put out of his misery. We could have helped.
Yeah, big heart, weak mind.
We'll get lit for you, bud. It's okay.
If we had to help Dan go, how would you do it?
Oof. You know, he wants to die. You know how he wants to die, right?
Yeah. We talked
on
about
the Today
that.
Show, obviously.
But, you know, I'm thinking right now, I would love to just do a slow sword right through the heart. Just
you would?
Yeah.
I don't want to do
that. If I'm helping him,
I want to go out like a bitch, pills in Mexico or something like that, like margaritas, and just be like, oh, cool. End of my bank account, like, but ration it out to like the exact day, you know. Uh-huh. Even tell like the person who's working the front desk of like, hey, I just give me one more week, and I promise I'll pay, you know. But I'm not gonna pay. I'm just trying to buy myself seven more days.
You're like full loan shark. Then
what's that?
Like go take out like a ridiculous loan from a loan shark.
Oh yeah. Look, that other guy did that.
Rage.
Yeah, just rage. He
took out. Help me die, please.
There was a guy who took out $100,000 and tried to end it in Mexico. Tried to kill himself. It was a bunch of pills.
Damn.
He woke up and he had this epiphany and was just like, I found Jesus and I didn't want to die and blah 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 blah. He was $100,000 of debt after that. I was like, you maybe should have just offed yourself.
That was not a full send, bro.
No.
Especially in Mexico, like
full send it.
Go on with it.
Yeah. So I wanted that. That's the way I'm out. What about you? I imagine it's like jumping off of like Ghost Bar or something.
It'd
like
be
flipping,
really
back
cool
flipping off
to
a Ghost
be strapped to a great white and thrown off an airplane and TNT and explode before you hit the ocean.
Wow.
I'm on board with all of this.
All of that. Like, is it alive?
Yeah. And as soon as you hit the water, TNT, you explode.
Man.
Strapped to a great white. Falling out of the sky.
A big fan. Are you a big fan of great white sharks?
I want to go shark cage diving or whatever it's called.
Really?
Definitely want
to
do that.
You got to wait till you get your videographer. That would be some epic
video. Oh, yeah.
Video.
I'm ready.
Speaking of those, you know our fucking crazy friends at Nitro Circus, they pushed each other in the water like at a cage set. Like where it was like, oh, we're going to go in the cages. And they were like, ha, ha, boom, shoved
Jesus
each other
Christ.
In the water.
How did that end up?
I mean, they all lived, but that's the
Besides Travis, are any of them worth living, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, we've met all of them at some point in our life, and I'm like, Travis deserves to live the rest of them. It's like,
go out doing something.
If
cool.
they die, they die. Like, you know, if they're in a ditch, it's just kind of like, oh, that was, that's a thing, you know, or
well,
sad.
It's full send, right?
It is full send.
Like, it's you're peering over the edge, like, oh man, that's a lot of sharks, and your buddy just hurls you into the water.
Yeah. Who'd you look up to growing up?
My parents.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
Man, I looked up to O.J. Simpson.
And my siblings.
I looked up to me.
Yeah.
Tiny and shiny.
Yep.
You know, tiny and shiny.
Fair enough.
Your parents were your heroes.
Yeah.
No athletes, no sports athletes, nothing?
Not really. I really
For what you do, how the fuck did you not, like, there's got to be somebody.
I mean,
like,
I grew up in a very active family, so I had older brothers especially always pushing me to hopefully be my best, and then by the time it went to getting competitions and stuff, I was always going against my brothers or boys. So when it got to me going against girls, I was like, oh, I got this all day. This is easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So especially like my dad would always take me on the weekends to play soccer, or ride dirt bikes or whatever it was. And we'd all kind of go every weekend and just have a good time. And then once I started getting older, I was like, okay, I can do some sports.
What about Circus Soleil or anything like that? Have you ever looked into any of this?
Yeah.
Like to really go next level?
I'm not really flexible. I couldn't be like a contortionist or anything.
Yeah, but no.
They're strong.
All the
it's all about
everything.
Your core, yeah.
Like
I could do that.
Like I imagine they would give you a massive contract to just help sell tickets plus be in the show.
Yeah.
They are gone a lot though. And I was in school at the time. So now like I got an open calendar now. When I was in school, I was like, I can't really go anywhere because I could only be gone two days out of the week.
Well, they're in Vegas, so you would live in Vegas pretty much full time.
Yeah, but they're also on the road right now too, though.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
A lot of them end up.
I think they're actually
a lot of them end up committing suicide.
This
by the way,
week. Really?
Yeah.
Why?
The schedule's too rigorous, and they get
extremely
tired, and so a bunch of them become like addicted to drugs and shit. This gets super dark, but
we were talking to.
I'm not gonna do that.
To Trevor Piranha, and he was talking, you know, we were talking about how Vegas wants to go to a year-round Nitro show.
Yeah.
And you start breaking it down, it's like you're throwing yourself off a freestyle motocross ramp
every
night.
Single night, yeah.
Like,
so I had a guy who, when I very first moved to L.A., he was in my acting class, and he was in Cirque du Soleil. And he rode those fucking motorcycles in that sphere.
Tube, yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a giant gerbil ball or whatever it is. And he had money. And I was like, yo, you're like the only person in this class who has money. He was like, I was in Cirque du Soleil. So, like, he was making a shit ton of money. I was like, why would you leave that job? And then he broke it down for me what it was like and the travel schedule and all
it's
that shit.
It's a lot. It's a full, like, it's a.
Yeah, and he goes to the.
It's a life commitment, not just a job. Like,
and
it's
and
a
the
full
concentration
life.
Of the show said yeah. It got to him where when you're on stage for 2 hours a night, knowing that if you miss, you're going to be fucked up for life. Like, yeah. It starts to.
It's a lot of pressure.
Mentally
and you
wear
have
on
to
you.
Be
yeah.
At your best. You don't have a day off. Like, you always have to be. At your prime, every time. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And the way he described it was very similar to a musician where he was like, you kind of sleep in all day, you get a massage, and you're just preparing for that one show, and then after that, like, everybody goes out and gets racked. You have all this cash, but he's like, you can't really spend it because you're on the road, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's a wild lifestyle, so maybe not Cirque du Soleil for you. Maybe keep doing what you're doing here. I mean, a $1.5 million. Shit.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, sky's the limit. What's your ultimate dream in the world? Do you want to be a movie star? You want to do a TV show?
Honestly, a little bit of everything. Like, I have no certain which way I want to go. I'm kind of down for anything. And kind of like I said, my schedule's open now. So people are like, let's do this. I'm like, I'm down. Let's go. You know, coming today, I was like, let's do it.
Well, yeah, you've been doing stuff with Black Rifle for about a year now. Mm-hmm. And I kept... remembering that you were flip-flopping between Vegas and here. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I remember that you were back down here. So it was like, hey, we're going to be in town.
I'm here. Yeah, ultimately, I think it'd be pretty cool to do, like, you know that guy who travels the world to, like, eat food from other places?
Anthony Bourdain.
He's dead, but yeah, Anthony Bourdain.
That
yeah.
guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, rest in peace.
R.I.P., yeah.
We'll get lit for you, too.
R.I.P. Paul Walker, too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would love to do that with all the extreme sport, like, professionals. So it's like, I'd go... to New Zealand for whoever can bungee jump or whatever it is, or like fly airplanes and helicopters and do crazy stuff with people from all
sounds
around the
like
world.
Yeah. My month.
Yeah, exactly. Except you're not doing it, Jared. You're watching it. She's actually doing it, which is amazing. I think this might be you. Correct me if I'm wrong. Were you almost paralyzed? Somebody's head?
I injured my spine. It wasn't too bad. It kind of gets carried away in stories, but I don't usually.
Yeah, there
talk
was
about
a press
it.
Article that said
there's
that
a lot of
you
them.
Were almost paralyzed.
I know.
Pint-sized princess, almost paralyzed.
I'm a Disney princess, not a pint-sized princess. Jeez, come
how
on,
tall
get
are you?
It right. 4'11 and a half.
Yes, yeah, that's P. That's
oh
that's
my
P
god,
sized.
That is the you know you're a half inch above the legal maximum height for a midget.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4'11 is a midget.
I'm there.
So you're a half inch above it. So mm-hmm. you're not classified as a midget.
See, I'm finally tall for something, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You made it by a half inch.
I mean, she can try an Elizabeth Warren something and just put that on.
Yeah.
You know,
you
say
a
federal
a
document.
You're probably getting to Harvard saying you're a midget.
Yeah.
They don't have enough midgets walking around Harvard.
No.
It'd be a blessing for me to walk there, you know? Yeah. We have a midget. Let's do it.
So did you
would
you
be
get
walking,
paralyzed
you'd just
or not?
Be flipping.
No.
Okay, what happened? What was the real story?
I got in a cheerleading accident and I broke my lower spine. So it definitely was a difficult time for me, but I wasn't like too bad, you know?
Were they throwing you up in the air?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody dropped you?
Yeah, straight on my back.
Ooh. Was it a dude or girls that dropped you? Were they, did you think it was vindictive?
Yeah,
like, hey, fuck this girl?
I don't know. That's where I'm just like, I mean, no one's ever. Gonna admit to something like that, but you know how girls are, especially at like a younger age.
Yeah. Creepy,
they,
right?
They all got
yeah.
together.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like you from Netflix. people are fucking stalking you, throwing you around.
I just finished that show, actually.
Crazy, right?
Crazy.
I have not seen
it's
it.
It's one of my faves.
Dan told me to watch it.
We love it. The author is actually coming on our show this weekend.
Oh. That's awesome.
Of the books, yeah. I'm an author, and I love that series, and it was... kind of an accident, I guess. So, you know, she'd written it a long time ago.
I feel like they picked the perfect guy for it, too. Because, like, on Gossip Girl, I watched that growing up. Sorry.
Same. That was
but
XOXO, was like, Gossip Girl. Chuck Bass is still one of the greatest characters of all time.
Oh, he is the greatest character of all time. I guess I could look up to him. He's cool.
Yeah, me too. Real bad. Yeah, I know. But the character of
God,
Chuck Bass was
didn't?
Sweet. I know. Who didn't?
He was
but
a good one.
We also need to redefine... what this me-too'd is now, because once you started unpacking some of these, it was like, wait, that was just a date
exactly.
that went poorly.
Yeah, that went
like,
wrong.
You can't just, it turned into this circus of, I have a story too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's gotten crazy. Yeah, Chuck Bass got caught up in that. What were your jams growing up? Dawson's Creek?
SpongeBob.
One Tree Hill?
One Tree Hill was good.
Yeah.
That was good. I didn't
Gossip
Girl. Like, I didn't really watch
You're
TV too much growing
shows
up.
Shows that were on when we were children.
No. But as a kid,
I have older siblings. Exactly. So Gossip Girl, One Tree Hill, was in high school.
Exactly. So you end up watching everything your older siblings watch. So
yeah.
I imagine you got sucked into all of their shows.
Yeah, I wasn't really into TV growing up. I really like movies, Fast and Furious, Sicario, things like that.
Oh, boy. That's
I love
that's
action
Jared's.
Movies where it's like...
That's all... Now you're speaking Jared's language. If it doesn't have a plot or good acting, he's in.
He I just like action, in.
Wow.
Action stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's good. But yeah, the guy in Gossip Girl, he was like the perfect character for that. And I always watched... Like, I grew up watching it saying like, I could see this guy being... a serial killer or something like that. And
yeah.
It was the same girl. I was like, yo, this is trippy.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, but definitely Fast and Furious movies like that where there's just action.
All 11 of
all,
them.
Yeah, all 19 of them. I mean, they even made
What's
Paul Walker
movie?
Come back to life. They even made Paul Walker come back to life. Didn't they put his brother in there? And then
they put a
3D face of Paul over his brother?
I don't know. That's creepy.
Come on.
I don't know.
If all-time fave, gun to head, if I had one, it would probably be Shawshank. Shawshank Redemption is my favorite.
Okay. What about you?
Mr. Bean.
You're kidding.
I don't know what that is.
God, I thought we went all-time faves.
That is the worst. He likes the worst movies of all time. You will never hear of it. It's a British guy who doesn't speak. I don't believe there's any dialogue in the movie. He's a comedian.
I need to go watch that.
What is your favorite Robin Williams movie?
Oof, it's not Patch Adams, and I know that's yours.
No, mine is What Dreams May Come.
What Dreams May Come is great. For me,
Cuba. Cuba was in that movie.
It's got to be Good Will Hunting, man. That movie... I guess at the time and everything else.
I love watching Good Will Hunting. Like,
just
once a year.
So fucking good.
Like,
and it just came out in like HD.
Oh,
so like
really?
So I got to see it in HD for the first time. And I was just like, oh, shit. It still holds up. There's certain movies you watch as a kid and then you rewatch them later and you're like, man, that was a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's a horrible movie.
Yeah.
Favorite movie made in 1983 about the U.S. Navy.
What?
No, I'm asking you.
Fucking Navy SEALs, I don't know.
Final Countdown.
Yeah.
I only gave you one
I wasn't
option.
Old enough to... I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
I wasn't even born, so...
But is that something
Count
you want to
on
do?
On that one.
Work in movies, be a stunt girl?
That'd be cool.
That'd be... Yeah. That's exactly what I see you doing.
I have a few friends that do that. It's pretty dope, the stuff they get to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Stunts, like getting into that stunt world. That's all the Cirque du Soleil world, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like the stunting, Jolene Van Vugt from Nitro Circus is a big into. There's not many stunt females out there that are willing to do some of this stuff.
100%. So if you got into that, you would crush and probably work forever.
I honestly think they might like you could mature into a lead because, like, coming from the stunt world, somebody that's able to do these things and then has the face and the voice and the acting chops to lead something. Now it's like, oh wait. You can actually just play this person.
Yeah, especially your age.
Cool.
Like,
that'd be awesome.
You have plenty of time to grow into that.
Not going to get any taller, but I'll get more mature, yes.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to work on your height.
Well, T. Cruz is pint size.
Growth spurt. Yeah.
T. Cruz.
Yeah, well, to be a gymnast and athletic and do all this shit, they're all tiny.
Oh, they're all tiny.
Yeah.
I fit in. My people.
Yeah, that's your peeps. Your peeps.
little midgets running around Harvard.
Yeah. Now's the point in the show where you get to the drinking bro of the week, which is somebody who inspired you or helped you grow up to be the person that you have become now. Who would be that one person for you in your life that has inspired you the most? It's a long pause there. It's a real
what I
long
said,
pause.
My siblings.
There.
I think my brother's like... definitely made me the
what's,
person
what's his,
that
what's
I am.
What's his name?
Devin and Damien.
Okay, Devin and Damien.
Two brothers.
Yeah, yeah. All D's.
Oh, yeah.
All
that's
of
a,
us.
That's a
yeah.
household
Demi,
right
Devin,
there.
Desiree, Damien.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is that? Is your dad's name Dave?
No.
Mom named Debbie?
Nope. They're just like, we all have the same initials.
For no reason whatsoever.
They just liked
the
it.
Same initials.
It's yeah. DBs.
DBs.
Boom, they're all DBs.
Bam.
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 Bam. Where can everybody find you on social media, Demi?
Demi Bagby on every platform.
Every single. You got your name. You're lucky.
D-E-M-I.
I didn't get my fucking name, dude.
I know. None of us did.
Oh, let's email Instagram.
None of us did.
You can just go kill the guy that has your name and then take it.
I thought about it.
Can you take his phone then?
Yeah, he lives in England and it's tough and then I'd have to cancel his account.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Loser.
I know. Fuck him. Fuck that other Ross Patterson. For the real Ross Patterson, He's Jared Taylor. This is Demi Bagby. Go and follow her videos on Instagram. Some of the craziest shit ever.
Thank you.
If you live past 24, it'll be a miracle. But I'm hoping you do.
Hopefully 26.
Yeah, I'm hoping you do.
It's magic. That's
and,
magic.
And you complained earlier how no guys get slide into the DMs. So if you're out there and you're a single, dude, boom.
Ready to mingle.
Hit her up in the DMs on though. Instagram. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for being on the show, Demi.
Take care.